All right. Great stuff. Well, VBS was a wonderful time. It's amazing how there was 2 hours. We had 2 hours with those kids each night. And in 2 hours, kids came in from our community, from our church. They entered a whole world here, a new world of construction and adventure and fun. They came into the rally times with games, connected, made friends, had fun, laughed, danced, learned worship songs, worshiped Jesus. They went around and built crafts and played games and heard the Bible and got the Word of God poured into their hearts. And it really stuck because it was fun and it was exciting. And they saw Jesus and His love and how powerful it can be when we build on the foundation of the love of God. And then they teamed up with each other, girls against boys, which is like the epic battle of all time, right? And it was wonderful. This incredible experience in 2 hours, all of that stuff happened because a group of people, a team of people, decided that they were going to make the most of the opportunity that was given them. And when you have a group of, I'm getting emotional, when you have a group of people who invest their heart into something together, and they say, you know what, I'm going to make the most of this time, man, God can do some incredible things. And a whole world was made in that time, and months of preparation in advance, and all the different things that went into it. But that's what can happen when we really decide to put our whole heart, our whole life, all of our strength together collectively for the glory of God. Amen? Amen. The title of my message this morning is Making the Most. Making the Most. Let's pray over the Word of God. Lord Jesus, thank You, Father, for Your Word. Lord God, we open up our hearts to You to receive from You this morning. Holy Spirit, will You speak to us, Lord, transform us by the power of Your Word, God. God, we love You. We bless You this morning. And Lord, I pray that anything that comes from me will fall to the ground and be fruitless, Lord Jesus, but that Your words will bear fruit that remains in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, we are continuing in our series this morning, going through the book of Ecclesiastes. The study, the title is Smoke for our series, based on the word found in the Hebrew that's there multiple times throughout the book, hevel, which means meaningless, nothingness, kind of emptiness. And that's what Solomon's big line was, meaningless, meaningless, everything under the sun is meaningless. Apart from God and apart from an eternal perspective, yes, all the stuff in this world, yeah, it's empty. And so we're sitting down with old man Solomon for coffee and looking back on life and saying, okay, what is life all about? What is life all about, Solomon? And so he says, I spent my life, all of my resources, my fame, my power, my money to pursue all the different things that this world pursues to find meaning or substance in life. And he said, as I pursued each one, knowledge, pleasure, achievement, wealth, legacy, all these different things, they came up empty. Like smoke, grasping for the wind, he says. They look like they have substance, but when we go to reach for them, they slip through our fingers. And so he says, all of these different pursuits, they're good things, but they can't fulfill us. Only Jesus can. And so we've established that over the weeks, that the presence of God is the place that we find the ultimate fulfillment, the faithfulness and the knowledge of Jesus, steadfastness and humility, the legacy of making His name great and investing into eternally valuable things, that's where we find the true substance of life. But then last week we turned the corner where, okay, what is Solomon's reflection? Okay, if all these things don't end up fulfilling us, then what is their purpose? Like, we do them. We have work and education, service, recreation. Those are all parts of our lives. So how do we approach them? And last week we talked about that we approach life and all of those things as a gift. It's a gift from God. And we accept them as a gift, contentment in our hearts, both the happy and the hard times. And then we have gratitude and appreciation for the gifts of our life that God gives. And then we delight in those gifts. And so all of those different things are things that we can receive as gifts from the Lord and find appreciation and delight in them as gifts from God, who is the ultimate source. But here's the thing. When we talk about all of these different life pursuits being empty, it's easy to fall into the trap of despair, right? Like, I mean, if work is really empty, it's not going to be fulfilling. And if recreation's not going to fulfill me, and all these things aren't going to fulfill me, then just why give them any attention? Why give any effort? Why put anything into it? I mean, it's just going to be empty anyways, just meaningless anyways, you know? And then what happens is that we end up going, if we start going down that hole, then it ends in despair. And the enemy comes in again, yet in another way, and gets us to where, oh, well, life is worthless. It's meaningless. But that's not true. Just because things aren't our source of life, Jesus, doesn't mean we don't make the most of each opportunity. See, Solomon condemned sloth and laziness. I mean, hardcore. He was not saying, oh, because these things are empty, then just, you know, just lay around and be lazy. No, look at what he says about sloth. Ecclesiastes 3:5, he says, the fool sits back and takes it easy. His sloth is slow suicide. Proverbs 6:9-12, how long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief and scarcity like an armed man. Proverbs 13:4, a sluggard's appetite is never filled, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. And then look at what Paul says in the New Testament about laziness. In 2 Thessalonians 3:6, he says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. So what is the lie here that the world is trying to present to us? If it can't get us to invest everything we have into the pursuits of the world, then the enemy's like, okay, well then just give up on it. Right? Do you see how the enemy is always trying to lie? He finds another way. He always has a lie for every situation. Right? So, yeah, you're right. Don't pursue the world. Just give up on all this stuff. You know? This is the lie. If something doesn't fulfill all the deepest desires of your heart, then it isn't worth your time or effort. If it doesn't fulfill all the deepest desires of your heart, then it's not worth your time or effort. Here's the problem with that. There's a lot of things in my life that don't fulfill the deepest desires and longings of my heart. In fact, most of my life doesn't fulfill the deepest longings and desires of my heart. Only Jesus can do that. He is the only one, but yet there's so many other things that he's called us to do with our lives and that we're invited to receive as a gift and to live into. And so that can't be true. There is a purpose in all things. Not all purpose has to feel deep and meaningful. Not all purpose has to feel deep and meaningful. There are plenty of things that are very purposeful in my life that don't feel great, right? Like disciplining my children. Doesn't feel great to discipline them, but that is something that I definitely need to do as a good parent, right? There are things like that in our lives that God's called us to that doesn't always feel great. So Solomon concludes this, that we should actually do our best because we only get one shot at this life. So why not make the most of it? I mean, if we have to work, why not work well? If we have to do these things, why not do them well and do them to the best of our ability so that life can be infused into the things that we give ourselves and our time and our effort to? So how do we live this out? How do we approach those four major components of life under the sun, of work, recreation, service, and education? How do we approach those things? All right, making the most. Here's how we do it. Number one, how do we make the most? of the things that God has brought us in our lives. Number one is give your best effort. Give your best effort. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says this, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the realm of the dead, where you are going, there is neither working nor planning nor knowledge nor wisdom. He says, this is it. You get one shot at this. Do it with all your might, with everything in you. God's given you strength. He's given you energy. Use those things. Use the things that God has given you and put your whole heart into it. Put all of your might, all of your strength, all of your body into the thing that is before you, whatever that is. And there is a way to do something with maximum effort and not be burnt out. There is a way. One of the most important things in avoiding burnout and complete exhaustion is your motive. What is the motive behind your effort? Because if fear is a part of it, that is going to drain you. It's going to be destructive. If the motive is anxiety, like, oh, I have to do this well or this will happen. Or I've got to give everything so that this doesn't happen. And if it's motivated by fear and anxiety, then yes, it will burn you out. It will exhaust you because fear drains you. You add fear to anything, it's going to be destructive. Same thing with giving your effort. So if you're giving all of your effort, but the motive is fear-based, then yeah, you're going to be worn out. You're going to get burnt out. So the motive of our effort matters. The motive of our effort matters. If you're doing something with all of your effort, like VBS, for the glory of God or for someone else, it's different. You might be tired, but it's different. There is life in it still, even though you gave your best effort. So whatever lies before us in the present moment in our life, if it's work, then we work with all of our might. If it's education, we study with all of our might. If it's service, we serve with all of our might. If it's recreation, we rest with all of our might. You're like, how do you rest with all of your might? How does that work? Well, I mean, think about it. When you're resting, are you really resting? Are you investing your whole body into that rest? That's why God commanded a Sabbath, because he's like, man, I got to give a command for these people to rest. Okay? I mean, God rested. God, he doesn't have to rest. He rested. So how do we do that? I mean, think about it. Have you ever had the moment where you like sit down in a chair, you're tired or something. You sit down in a chair and you rest. And then you realize you're all tense. You know what I mean? Like you're taut. You're like, you're sitting, but you're. And then you're like, oh. And so you rest again. And you sit there for a while and you realize you're still a little tense and then you like rest again. Like it literally, there's layers. Like it takes time for us, especially in this insane world, to rest. And so give your best effort in your rest and in your play. The motive matters. When I worked in the Amazon warehouse, there was a guy that I worked with there. We started together. And this guy, man, work ethic. I mean, he worked hard. He was amazing. And the thing was, he was twice the age of everyone else that was working around him, and he worked circles around those people. I mean, he was just like a beast, right? But he loved the Lord. And so there was a position for like a trainer, and you have to work there typically for like 3 months to be able to be a trainer and all this stuff. Well, he comes to me after like 4 weeks, and he says, hey, I'm a trainer. I got approved to be a trainer. I'm like, what? What? Like, what? And then as everyone heard that he was approved for that position, they're all like, oh, yeah. Yeah, he should. He should be a trainer. He should, because he had a reputation for being a hard worker. And what was amazing about him is he loved the Lord. And the reason why he worked hard is he saw it as honoring to God. He's like, I work hard because I want to represent Jesus well. I want to do good work. Even when people all around him could care less about anything they were doing, he was putting his whole effort, his best effort, twice the age of these people, even more than that. And yet, and then what do you know? Everyone knows. And then sure enough, a couple months later, I hear that he's been promoted again, like faster than anybody ever in the history of the warehouse to like a management position. And I'm like, let's go. This guy deserves it. But he had a reputation. And the thing was, is that anytime he got attention, what did he do? Where did he point people's attention? To Jesus. He's like, everything I'm doing is honoring to God. And I love that. It was amazing. That's what happens when we give our best effort. There's something to be said about that. Number two, how do we make the most? Give our best effort. Number two is give your complete attention. Give your complete attention. Ecclesiastes 11:6. He says, go to work in the morning and stick to it until evening without watching the clock. Man, that's a tough one. Without watching the clock. And I have to say, that is a tough one. You never know from moment to moment how your work will turn out in the end. So we've already established about how if we want to live life to the full, then we need to be fully present, right? To this moment, because it's the only moment we can live in is the present. Can't live in the future, can't live in the past. You can only live right here in this moment. So we need to be fully present to this moment. There's a great quote by Master Oogway in Kung Fu Panda. You know, I get all of my wisdom from him. He says, the past is history, future is a mystery, but today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. Isn't that great? Come on, Oogway. He's the man. But that's true. The present moment is a gift. It's the only moment that we can live into. So we need to give our complete attention to what is in front of us in that moment. So if it's work, then we work with our complete attention. If it's education, study with our complete attention. If it's service, we serve with our complete attention. If it's rest and recreation, we do that with our complete attention, completely attentive to whatever it is that we're doing. When I worked in Colorado at a church there was a friend of mine who was on staff, and this guy was the most intentional person I had ever met. Like, I mean, if you could give one word to describe him, it was intentionality. Like, the guy just, everything he did intentionally. It was with purpose. Like, there was a reason why. He thought things through. He gave his complete attention to whatever was in front of him. And he was tasked with putting together, like, an Advent Devo for, like, the Christmas season. You know, thinking about the hope that came with Jesus' arrival. And so, you know, we're thinking, oh, it's going to be, like, a little devotional type thing with, like, a reading and a scripture, and it'll be nice. No. He starts preparing 9 months ahead of time, and he's reading books, he's thinking through it, and he's doing everything else, but he's giving his complete attention. In the time that he would work on it, his whole attention was on that one project. Simple, but he gave everything that he had to it. And then when the time came for it to roll out, he had like a podcast episode interviewing people about practices that you could engage with in your heart. In the services, we had these different spiritual disciplines and practices like weaved into our services on Sundays where we could practice reflecting upon the wonder and the hope of Jesus. It was immersive. It was incredible. It was amazing, a beautiful thing. But he gave his complete attention to the task at hand. And then it became this awesome, awesome journey that we all got to partake in together. And it's incredible what human beings can do, what humans can do when we give our complete attention. I mean, look at this stuff. This is styrofoam, guys. That's incredible. Like, that's what we can do when we give our complete attention to something, right? So we give our best effort, we give our complete attention, and then making the most, number three, give your whole heart. Give your whole heart. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Well, what does that mean? Like, what does it mean, give your heart? Put your heart into it. Put your heart into something. Do something heartily. What does that mean? It's like passion, right? Your heart is invested in something. It reminds me of the movie Rudy. Anybody ever seen Rudy? Okay, I love Rudy. It's so great. But Rudy was like this guy. He wanted to play for Notre Dame, the Division I college football. But he was like a scrawny little dude. And he was not going to do it. He would be killed, you know. But he wanted it so bad that he tried everything that he could to get on the team. Finally, somehow, I think the coach was just like, poor guy. Just put him out on the practice squad, I guess. You know, this is his whole life. Right? So he goes out there and he's on the practice squad and he's getting beat up. Every day, though, he shows up to practice, gives it his whole effort, even though he's getting squashed by these guys, right? But every single day, and then after years of doing this, his last game, he wants to dress for the game, right? He was hoping that maybe he could get on the field, not actually do anything, but just come out of the tunnel. That was his dream. Well, the whole team rallies around him and convinces the coach to let him dress for the game. And then they end up, the movie ends with them like putting him on their shoulders and celebrating Rudy, and the whole stadium is chanting. And they were celebrating this man more than the win, more than the game, because they saw something in him. There was a passion in him, a dedication. He invested his heart in what he did. And so they were inspired by that. And what's amazing about that, when we're passionate and when we put our heart into something, is that even if it's something that you aren't called to do, you can be inspired by it. When we put our heart into it. My old pastor was a guy who was just a wholehearted individual. I mean, like, he just always put his heart in it. He wore his heart on his sleeve. Like, he was just a hearty guy, you know. And one of our staff values was wholeheartedness, so which made sense. The day came for me to have the hard conversation with him and tell him, hey, we're leaving. We're leaving the church. We're going to Kansas City, and we're coming to this church. And he had been a part of that process, but he was kind of waiting. And I called him up, and I said, hey, I wanted to have a meeting with you and talk about, you know, Katie and I's future. And he's like, ah, yes. He said, I have a feeling that this meeting will be both glorious and heartbreaking. And we sat down together, and in that meeting, sitting across that table with that man, his heart was on the table. You could see it in his eyes. There was nothing but pure love coming from him. And as I shared the news of us leaving, his response was celebration, encouragement, affirmation. Excitement, genuine excitement. But he put his heart into that moment. And when someone does that, you'll follow them anywhere, to the ends of the earth. I believe with all of my heart that's how Jesus was. Follow him anywhere. The great leaders we see in the movies, the William Wallaces, Kazumoto, all these people, they led with passion, their heart invested in what they did. They made the most. So we make the most. We give our best effort, our complete attention, and our whole heart into whatever's in front of us, whatever that might be. Well, then you might be saying, well, Neil, last week you literally said, last week, that the world is trying to steal our heart, mind, soul, and strength away from God, right? Like, you're supposed to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Why would we give our strength, our mind, and our heart to these different things, these pursuits? I thought we weren't supposed to do that. Ah, this is where it all comes together. Like you guys were waiting or something. I don't know. All right, Colossians 3. Verse 23, the second part of this verse, it says this: whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. He is the one you're serving. So whether it's education or recreation or work or service, whatever it is, we do it with our best effort, with our complete attention and with all of our heart as worship for the Lord, not for any person. Because our inheritance comes from Him. And so it's an act of worship. So we can invest our mind, our heart, our strength, our soul into the things that we're doing because its end is Jesus being glorified. And the work and all those other things are a means to that end. So whatever element of life we are living into, we are ultimately living it for Jesus. Whatever element, whatever it is, we are ultimately living that for Him. That is the underlying motive to all of our life as followers of Christ, is to lift Him up. That's it. It's our love for the Father. And what's great is we can still invest our heart into all these different things because our motive matters. Remember? The motive for our effort matters. And it's worship. And when it's worship, it's different. You put everything into it, but yet somehow you're full still. Because it's for the one thing that can sustain us. The one person who can fulfill us. And so even if we're emptying ourselves out as a drink offering for the Lord, emptying ourselves out, yet somehow we are full. Because we're doing it for Him. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." So the primary pursuits are still primary. It's still our relationship with the Lord, our eternally valuable things, people, relationships, lives, the kingdom of God. Primary is still primary. The knowledge of Jesus, the pleasure of His beautiful, wonderful presence, the steadfastness and humility and those attributes of God, the legacy of making His name great, investing our lives into eternally valuable things, those are still primary. We're still giving our whole heart and our attention to those things above everything else. But even the secondary elements of our lives become redemptive and have a redemptive purpose because they're aimed and filtered through honoring God with every aspect of the human experience. He is being lifted up. And so all of life becomes a gift. Now what's amazing is, last week we talked about how we receive life as a gift from the Father, right? He gives us the grace to do that with contentment, gratitude, delight. But then guess what we get to do? We get to give it back to Him as worship. With all of our heart, all of our strength, and all of our mind, as a sacrifice of praise to our King. And then every thread of our life is weaved into the tapestry that Jesus has made, and it all begins and ends with Him. Everything that we do ends up pointing back to Jesus. Amen? So I want to close with this. The beginning of the year, our word for the year was welcome. To welcome Jesus into all of our heart. Welcome Jesus into all of our homes, every part of our lives. I want to ask you this question. What elements of your life have you welcomed Jesus into as King? Because here's what's amazing. When we welcome Jesus into an area of our life, He brings with Him everything that He is. The fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. He brings those things with Him. But even more important than that, He brings with Him His grace and His empowering Spirit. So we invite Jesus into our work or our recreation or whatever it is, that part of our life. When we're in welcoming Jesus into that place, then He's the one who gives us the grace to receive those things as gifts. And then He's the one who gives us the power to offer them as worship. It's when we invite Him in and welcome Him in to those places in our lives, He becomes Lord. And when he does that, grace and empowerment. He gives us the things that we need. We can't do this on our own. There's no way. Kidding me? How would we ever be able to give all of our effort and our attention and our heart in all the different things that we live into in our lives? That's impossible. Without the presence of God and the Spirit of God and the grace of God. He's the one who empowers us to be able to do that. So, everyone, just bow your heads and close your eyes where you're at. I just want you to ask the Holy Spirit, just ask God, God, what are you saying to me right now? What are you speaking to me? Doesn't matter what I've been talking about. If there's something else, maybe God's speaking something specifically to you today. What are you speaking to me? Maybe there's an area of your life that you feel like God is highlighting to you that you need to invite him into. Maybe there's a certain area of your life that's been hard to receive as a gift, or it's been hard to give as worship. What is God asking you to invite him into? Where in your life do you hear Jesus knocking on the door and saying, I want to come in there. I want to be king in this part of your life. Let me give you the grace to receive this part of your life as a gift and the power to offer it as worship. Lord Jesus, we offer our lives to you, Father, this morning. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to come. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy and your grace. We can do nothing on our own. Apart from you, we can do nothing. The only way we can do any of this is by the grace of your Spirit. By your finished work on the cross, you made a way where there was no way. Lord, help us to live our lives as worship. And to be free from all the fear or anxiety or expectations that the world places on us or that we place on ourselves, to worship you. Thank you, God, for your presence. Thank you, God, for your power. Thank you, God, for your peace. We're going to take a moment. We're going to respond and worship together. So if you wouldn't mind just standing to your feet with me. Let's just respond to the Lord in worship.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. And worthy of every praise we could ever bring. worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save.
Likes to lie to us. He likes to condemn us and make us feel terrible as much as possible. And so when Solomon said, give your best effort, your best, not someone else's, your best effort. There's different seasons in our life where our best changes. You know, there's times where our best is just being present, and that's our best. There's times where it's like going nuts and going crazy, and that's our best. But what God's asking is, give your best, not someone else's. Give your best. So I just want to encourage you with that, because the enemy wants to lie to us. He wants to bring us down. Just give whatever your best is, your whole self, whatever that is and wherever you are. That's what God invites us into. Amen? You guys are amazing. I love you guys so much. And man, again, thank you everyone that was involved in VBS for giving your best effort. Can we give one more round of applause to everyone who helped with that?
It was wonderful. Well, I love you guys, and I'll see you next week. Have a great week.